Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers scattered across the globe, or at least across the country, that love astrology and are fascinated by how astrology affects our everyday life. And we like sharing this with you. I'm Heather Rowan Robbins, and I'm speaking to you from North Dakota on the Canadian border tonight. And we also are joined by Mark.
Mark Waltz, by the Hudson River in Manhattan, on the, I guess that would be the border to New Jersey.
And Ann Hortley on the Upper East Side, on the border of Sotheby's. There's right across the street,
entirely, huh?
Yeah.
That's very funny. Well, happy spring, everybody. We're in the full contrary Aries season. And to start off the new beginnings, I thought that the vote on the House bill yesterday on the first full day of spring with the sun going into Aries, watching the conflagration, you know, it was a wonderful time to have everybody. Everybody loves a good fight when the sun goes into Aries. We talk about the spring revolution that forms every year when during people get, you know, philosophical when the sun is in Aquarius. They get broody and emotional and feel victimized while the sun is in Pisces. They get really rebellious when the sun is in Aries and they plot their revolution. But then it's usually when the sun goes into Taurus that they, you know, take their lines on the battlegrounds. And that's when you see the big political marches, and then sun goes into Gemini and they just start talking about it and dissipate for the summer. But now it's a naturally contrary time, and I think one of the gifts of Aries is a rebellion against being told what to do. Doesn't matter who's telling you what to do. It could be yourself that's telling yourself that you know what you should be doing. But it's a desire to really listen to the moment, to be fully present in the present, to what makes us fully come alive. And we just have to avoid that knee-jerk oppositional response to the world and stick into the Aries. What really feeds my life force? What really matters to me? It's so easy, as the politicians are showing us so well, to just get cut off in a good fight. And to notice with that rebellion, the point of it is to help us see what we really want, not just to waste our energy in opposition. But right now the sun is in Aries, Mercury is at 10, Venus is at 19 Aries, and the sun is opposed Saturn, which has been a really juicy time politically. So I see this week as coming back alive, but having to, and feeling that simplicity, you know, when the planets moved into Aries, we feel less overwhelmed by our life, and we see a lot clearer of what we need to do and what we don't need to do. But it's, can we stay focused on what matters to us and not spend our time in reaction or allergic responses to the world around us? That's one of the big issues that I'm seeing this week. Mark, what are you seeing as the highlights of the week ahead?
Well, the sun opposite Saturn and then moving on to squaring Pluto, that's a big deal. So that the basically the square between Saturn and Pluto that we're going through, the sun is visiting the two of them, right? Saying hello, Saturn, and then, squaring off with Pluto for a moment, and then it goes on from there. But that's this week we're getting that Thursday is the square to Pluto. And, you know, that's the main thing going on. It's not a whole lot else other than that, but that's a big deal because it's a big theme, the Saturn square Pluto. And then, you know, we remember that Uranus is going to move into that picture and make a T-square. That's later on in the summer. And we have a full moon coming up next Monday. The moon will be at 9 Libra for that full moon.
Yeah, 9 on the setting it up, filling it all in. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. That's very cool. Yeah,
and,
I kind of look at...
And what are you seeing?
Well, I kind of look at the blockage. You know, there's this whole... You know, I've got a lot of people that are going, oh, I'm feeling so blocked, I'm feeling so blocked, I'm feeling so blocked. And they are, you know, and it's like, yep, you're feeling blocked, so go in the direction you can. You know, there's an open door somewhere too. So head towards that rather than focusing on, you know, focusing on the block and really give it, you know, go for the Leo house because Mars is moving freely there and it's saying, okay, go do this thing. And Leo house is always the place where you're supposed to shine anyway. So the block is in place, which is going to be there through the spring. And then once it clears, then we're going to be able to move forward. Don't focus on that. Recognize it's there, but then go towards that open area, which is the Leo house, and go with the Mars. Because Mars is finally starting to move, and he's trying to the block. So you can take the energy and the frustration from feeling blocked and turn it over. And the other thing I noticed was the combo of fire and water in the sky. You know, we had a lot of water planets last week, and then over the course of last week, Mercury shifted into Aries and the Sun shifted into Aries, which then opened up the fire and water. And I have a friend who's an astrologer in Iceland, and they had a volcano there in the land of fire and ice. And I didn't realize people actually go to Iceland to visit the volcanoes because there's a bunch of active ones because they sit on a very active little plate between the Asian, the European plate and the America plate. So they have a lot of volcanoes in there. So he wrote back, you know, because we all were like, oh my God, are you all right? And he's like, oh yeah, it's great. We're having volcanoes here, you know. And it's fire and ice. You know, it's the water and the fire bursting through it. And that makes that steam. And I don't know if you guys saw the video of it, but it's like totally cool. And, you know, so it's like this, there's an energy that's erupting somewhere in your chart. And to follow that eruption.
Okay.
Towards
where are you seeing this wonderful eruption of opposites?
The eruption is in the Mars house,
mm-hmm.
in the house that's Leo, because the you get the trine, you know, there's the T-square with the Saturn and the Pluto and the Aries planets forming the T-square, and then the Aries planets trine the Mars. So the T-square energy, the blocked energy, is all shooting out someplace, and it shoots into the Leo house, where the Mars is just starting to go back through. So there's like that area was blocked, but now it's ready to go forward. And all the energy from the blockage of the T-square says, go there, go that way.
Right.
And, of course, the Leo house in every chart, whatever house is ruled by Leo, is where you're supposed to shine, where you're supposed to spend your sun. So the sun trining Mars says, yeah, go spend your sun. You know, spend it over there. It's a good place. Go do it. Go do that. Don't worry about the block over here. We're working on it. So I noticed as the, you know, Ivar had written that as the sun went into Aries was when the volcano erupted. So he thinks there's another one. It apparently sets off a girlfriend volcano down the road a piece from the volcano that erupted. And that one blows every 100 years. And he's figuring that will blow when Jupiter and Uranus get on the world axis in June, which is kind of what I was thinking. You know, Jupiter, Uranus, big explosion, lots of fire, boom, boom, and that's June 6th to 8th. So it's very interesting. I just think it's, you know, I love astrology because it's so literal and figurative. And like yesterday, it was really sunny and gorgeous, and today it's pouring rain. So it's fire and rain, you know. It's like, it's beautiful, but it's rainy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I see that Mark, were you going to say something?
Oh, I was just going to say, we can book tickets to Iceland for early June and catch the action, right?
Mm-hmm. We expect the tectonic plates to be shifting from volcanoes and earthquakes all the time that Saturn squares Uranus. Saturn opposes Uranus, and especially as Saturn opposes Uranus and they square Pluto. That's
and
really
square,
keeping our fundamentals, our foundations, shifting, shaking, and ready to move. And as far as the Earth concerns, this is evolution. And we have to remember that when the fundamentals of our own life shift and shake and get a little volcanic sometimes, that it is evolution. It's a chance to shift the major building blocks in our life into better places. So when we feel that uncertainty, when we feel that chaos, when we suddenly have to move in the middle of winter when we didn't think we had to, that's my life, it's a chance to make an improvement. And if we can see that, the volcanoes and the earthquakes are the tectonic plates shifting into a more comfortable position for the mother, which is hard on the people living above them, but it's part of the level of evolution. So we can have compassion for the individuals caught up in it, but feel the evolution of the shape of the earth itself underneath it. We can feel that in our own life. You know, how is the shape of the evolution of our life or our community's life evolving, even as it can cause tension and discomfort sometimes?
Right, right.
And we certainly see that with Mars in Leo. Mars in Leo for about 6 months this time, isn't it?
Yeah, Mars was in
all
Leo
way through,
for 7 months.
All way
seven
back.
Months. Yeah, it's from October 15th to June 5th. Yep, long time.
I think of Mars in Leo as the, you know, height of bravado and braggadocio. And again, how grandstanding. And especially now, this week, as Mars trines the Sun, we're seeing how much of the political commentary in the last couple of days is real and how much of it is braggadocio, is wanting to have been seen saying it rather than actually trying to create. And that trying to peel that down, I mean, the Mars in Leo also can give people the guts to break into a new town or break into a new place or, you know, go for the 100th job interview. It can give us the guts to get out there. And I can give kids a chance to try something that they might have normally be too shy. So it can really help us fortify at a time when we're feeling a little vulnerable to try and try again. But it's also the braggadocio and the couple counseling that I've been doing on a couple of relationships, trying to peel away the hurt pride down to what the real issue is. It's been a real problem. You know, when people are effusive and warm, they can show it with more warmth and more commentary and more love than usual, because Mars and Leo can be very, you know, romantic and dramatic in that way and appreciative. You know, Leo's gift is a generosity. But I'm seeing, and again, it's being exacerbated once all the planets went into Aries. It started echoing off that Mars and Leo, and when Mars started to move forward, that the pride issues, that people just can't shut up and say I'm sorry, mm-hmm. or, you know, get off their high horse and see what was mutually responsible, or how could, you know, what was their end of the subject right now. So if we find ourselves in a fight or in a stalemate with a loved one or blocked, and to see how much of it is ego and how we can work around that. You know, that if we sometimes it means managing and manipulating the people that we love, just making it easier for them to say they're sorry or to move on because you soften around their pride. You don't make it hard for them to say they're sorry. It's not necessarily direct manipulation. It's sort of managing them to say you don't have to invalidate their pride. You have to let them save face in order for them to move forward. At least that's what I'm seeing with this. With the Venus and Aries, we can sometimes just be too direct and say, look, you know, just get real. You blew it. Deal. Venus and Aries is very to the point. Mercury in Aries is doesn't want the long way of describing something. It wants to get to the point and get real. And we see that, you know, coming back to that, I want to talk about the Sun square Pluto a little bit later on, but have any of you also noticed that pride issue being a real problem in your clients or in the headlines?
Well, it's definitely been in the headlines. But it also, I think, is the I think what I've been noticing a lot is people focusing on where they're blocked and how it's not moving for them. And, mm-hmm. you know, that piece is that seems to be what I'm hearing more of. Is it like, well, you know, I want this. And it's like, yep, I know you do, but you're not going to know until here, you know, when the T-square forms. In the meantime, these are the things you can do to help yourself. But take the energy and go do something else. Take it where you can actually be productive and do things. And I think But I think this is how it should be. It's like, yeah, I know. And I agree. I would love it to be that way. But until the person makes the decision, decides, whatever, we're not going to actually know what's going to happen. So don't sit around waiting. Go do your life. And I think part of it is giving people, I don't know the right word for it. I want to say time frames, but that's not really the right word, because it's not even a time frame. It's simply saying that because we are in this time of huge change, you know, when they were saying about the earthquake, they were like, well, we don't know if it's going to be a little one, or the volcano. We don't know if it's going to be a little one or a big one. We don't know if this is going to go on for a couple of days or if it's going to be a slow burn over a long period of time. And it's that, you know, we don't know right now, but people want an answer. And I think maybe that's where, you know, what you're seeing, which is the, you know, I want to know how it's going to turn out, my way or the highway kind of energy. Mm-hmm. The braggadocio comes
it's
from.
It's so Aries.
It's so Aries. It's like, well, of course you have to tell me and it has to happen. You know, I had somebody here the other day going, well, you know, should we get divorced? And I'm like, well, what's the deal in the relationship? And basically it's, you know, it's a kid that's causing a lot of problems. You know, it's a step family, blended family. And I'm like, well, you guys need a plan. You know, children are highly manipulative, no offense to your son, but they know how to push a button and intersperse themselves. So you two need to have a plan about how you're going to deal with this situation, you know. And that's the key, is once you guys know what your plan is, you can handle anything. It's when you don't have a plan, and the kid does, you know, which is I want to do drugs and stay out at night and party, you guys, you know, you're at the disadvantage because you aren't operating with a vision. And I think that's the other part, is I've been encouraging people really to focus on what their vision is. But what's your vision for how you want this to turn out? Do you want to get a divorce? No, we love each other. Okay, so kid's going to be around another year and a half, maybe. You know, he's 15, 16 years old right now. Tough, you know, but you know, what's your vision for what you guys want in your own life? And that, I think, we forget that we have control over this whole big section that we we focus on the problem. We're not focusing on the thing that we have control over. Because some stuff we don't have control over. And that stuff, right now, just let it go, man, because you're not, you know, you can try, but nothing's going to work. So.
And that's, I'd say, one of the difficulties. You know, each sign can react against the last sign. It's sort of the antidote and the response to the last sign in
right.
that way, shape, or form.
They're the cure, yeah.
And Pisces is, everything is so complicated and so complex, and it's so aware of the interconnectedness and subtlety of the world that it can just get stuck in the swamp. Mm-hmm. And Aries' response to that is very black and white. Let's make it simple.
Let's just do it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's just do it. It's not that Aries are that... are not simplistic. It's they're often the Aries energy that we all have somewhere in our chart is where we can sort quickly, you know, the what's working from what's not and what to go on next. They often can help us pare down to what is essential. It's like I think of Aries energy as a field full of leaves left over from last year, and all of a sudden you see a few things sprouting up. And that what's sprouting up rather than decomposing from last year, that direct fresh Aries guts to sprout up after a long winter. But sometimes people can take it and oversimplify and say, yes, nope, throw out the wrong things and move too quickly. And with my Aries moon, I can sympathize with that. But the
you have thrown out
also,
things in the past you wished you kept, right?
Oh, yes. But better than I keep things that I wish I'd thrown out and moved them and paid for it moving. There's also been this interesting lineup as every planet moves into a cardinal sign now. It's aspecting Pluto in the early degrees
and
of Capricorn.
Saturn, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep, and Saturn, and soon Uranus. So first Venus opposed Saturn, then squared Pluto, then Mercury, and this week the Sun. Squares Pluto and opposes Saturn. And it's been interesting that even with all this, you know, new and starting energy, we're finding lost pieces and finding lost pieces of the puzzles. I mentioned that I had evidence you know, a few weeks ago of a friend who may have been the killer that they're doing and checking out pictures of in California may have been related to the death of a friend of mine who was murdered back in 76.
What happened?
Solved his, my best friend was murdered in 1976, and they never found her killer. And there is the MO of the murderer that they found in California, and they're trying him for four murders already. He's been in jail for a while, but they just recently found a stash of photographs, and they're wondering if he was responsible for other murders.
Wow.
And I've been in contact with the police because I have reason to believe that he might be involved with hers.
Wow.
So that would solve a long-standing mystery.
Yeah.
But they're looking now to see if they can find the Holloway girl's bones in Aruba.
Mm-hmm.
That often in more subtle ways that we find lost bits of Plutonian events from the past.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the unearthing of old clues.
Yeah.
In our psyches. I'm hearing about this as people going through psychotherapy. I'm hearing about this in, you know, pulling up in old crimes. These are only two. I can think of five stories right now about evidence from a former crime or former accident now surfacing. And it doesn't always have to be. It could be missing research, and you finally found the one piece of paper that you've been looking for, the distant relative that you've been finding.
That links everything up. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it, as the all these personal planets go back and forth and set this off.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting to see what's coming up from the depths.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Pluto always does like to stir up the underworld. You know, he brings brings the underworld to the surface and says,
mm-hmm.
"Okay, you know, you were wondering about that. Let me tell you." And then you go, "Okay, got it." You know, and then you're like, "I don't know that I really wanted to." You know, I mean, you want to know the answer, but then the other hand, it brings up all the old feelings too, because it stirs everything back up and says, "Okay, well, this may be the answer to the mystery of what happened."
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then the mystery gets solved. Wow.
And,
that's wild.
And the full moon coming up, that full moon of the sun in Aries, opposed moon in Libra, I usually think of this as the full moon that we really see the fight that we might have in our life between what we want out of our relationships and what we want to do personally, between our individuation and in all of our friendships and relationships. Especially if you feel like you've been making too many compromises for a spouse or too many compromises to be part of a group, and you want to just do it your own way. And if there's any tension in there between your needs and those of another's, you know, that you see them highlighted right now, but just need to not buy into the idea that it's an either or. That, you know, don't get this full moon can be very creative if we choose to. We say, "I know there's a third way. Where is it?" Instead of, "It's either my way or your way, or my way or the highway." You know, it's how can we find something where both of our needs can be met? So that's just something to keep an eye on, cooking in the background this week. Mark, were you going to talk more about, I think, the full moon? Did you have some comments that you want to make on this full moon?
Well, I think it's true that this one always does highlight relationships. You know, Libra, and there's such a strong contrast between the energy of Aries. And Aries is very strong right now. We know that we have all these planets in Aries, a whole bunch of them. And, again, Mars in Leo is trying to them and really bringing in that fire energy. And so relationships will definitely be on the menu to look at. And you know, that that sensibility about pushing buttons, it's a little too bad, you know, when we have all this Aries and Leo energy, because it makes the push my button so big. It's like a big red button. And so, you know, we can see
it's
what
like
that button
the,
is.
What's it? The Staples
yeah,
button, a, get it done button, only our button is
yeah.
bigger and it's sitting right on our forehead. Push my button.
Right,
not like
right
that.
There, and it is just mm-hmm. so hard to not push that button. You know what's going to happen. You know, the person is going to blow up. You know exactly
mm-hmm.
what's coming. And
mm-hmm.
yet, you know, and you know that, that your job is to be big about it and not put their ego on the line. You know,
mm-hmm.
give them the space. Let them have
very
some dignity, mind. Right? But,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just so hard to resist because it's so funny, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes we just want to reach out and push that button, you know, just like watching a jack-in-the-box pop out,
mm-hmm.
you know? It's, like, just fun to do.
I
but,
watched my cat do
to,
that to the dog tonight all night. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. It's that kind of thing. And, you know, and yet there's a higher part of us that says, well, you know, let me refrain. Let's have peace. Let's get through this and let my partner keep some dignity. Because the thing is that, you know, when you do push that button and then the person blows up and they, you know, because they have to protect their ego, then, you know, they lose all dignity and you lose all dignity and the whole thing is a mess. So it's really not worth it. It's just that it was hard to resist. But it shows so strongly.
Mm-hmm.
You know right where it's going. And that's what, you know, we have to be able to look at that and say, whoa, you know, let me make a choice here. So anyway, as we approach that full moon, with the moon in Libra, that button is going to show in your partner real strongly. And you have to decide, you know, what are we going to do with this? And remember,
mm-hmm.
full moons are always a big energy. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you push that button,
mm-hmm.
it'll be a big jack-in-the-box that jumps out.
Mm-hmm. I can think of my partner is an Aries, and I recently had jaw surgery, which is still quite uncomfortable. But I'm able to talk now, but I can't laugh. So, of course, my partner, who is usually not a very funny person, has been hysterically funny ever since,
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
that's my button. You know,
yeah.
I'm sitting here trying very hard not to laugh when you were describing that last scene, and that the it's you know, that's the how to get an Aries. Tell them they can't do something. You can use really reverse psychology is very effective right now.
Uh-huh.
If I think of Tom Sawyer saying, people, oh, you know, it's so much fun, but I'm not going to let you paint the fence.
Mm-hmm.
And so, sure, everybody painted the fence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they all
and
won.
That we can really use that right now to get people going if we want. But let's see if we can find some other way of relating with each other besides that contention. Easy, and it just consider that just like too easy.
Well, I like the quote, you know, it's your button, but I like pushing it, you know. It's like,
yeah.
I'm going to push your button. I know it's there, and it's kind of fun to push it, you know. So it's like, okay.
Yeah.
You're having such fun pushing my buttons. Yes, I am. And it's good. You kind of go, okay, what are you going to do with that? But I think when we see it, we have to kind of also recognize that part of the Aries energy, Aries like to fight. You know, I had somebody the other day, and we were talking, and I was like, and they were like, blah, 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 blah. And I said, well, you know, they're an Aries. They like to fight. And she's like, what? I'm like, well, Aries like to fight. It's what they do for fun. They, you know, they like fighting. It's a good thing. It's like, you know, it's like good sex for them. Fighting is good sex.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, I never knew that. And I'm like, yeah. I said, you just fight with them about something you don't care about. You know, like fight about who shot JFK or fight about whether you think the health care bill is bad or, you know, whatever you don't care about, fight about. Have a good rip-roaring fight. Clears the air. They feel great. You have makeup sex. It's, you know, you can't beat it. And she was like, I never thought of that. And I'm like, yeah. They like to fight.
They like that intensity.
They like the intensity.
But I've also seen the ones that don't necessarily like to fight like to reinvent. So give them something that they can change.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Change or reinvent.
that they can
and
tweak.
And if they can reinvent and find a better way of doing it, they'll be just as happy as if they had a good fight.
If they have a good fight, right. Right. Yeah, it doesn't always have to fight. But they do like that. They like to be fresh and new and re-stimulate, kind of. Let's stimulate this. Okay, we're stimulating it right into craziness, but they're happy. That's how they work. And so I think if we understand that because the desire for the new is so strong right now, that when the old presents itself, it's like, oh, this is old. Let's get it going. Let's get it stimulated. And that's also where the button pushing thing comes from too. Is it stimulates the other person to do something, and it's movement. It's a reaction. It's action, and they love action. They love having something move. So
do we have anybody online?
Let me look. We did have an email from a reader.
Okay.
It
let's
says,
give out the number, and then let's read the email.
Okay. It says,
if anybody would like to call in,
mm-hmm.
our number is? Do you know that number?
347-215-8881. 347-215-8881. And the email is, question regarding my son's chart. Hi to my favorite astrologers. My son's data is 10/22/92. At 1:02 p.m. in Asheville, and I'll give the data again. Wondering about the natal Uranus, Neptune, and Capricorn in the first house opposed to the Mars and Cancer in the seventh, and one effect that will have the transiting north node conjunct to Uranus, Neptune will have, as the south node will also be joined to natal Mars. My son is in the midst of transiting Pluto on his ascendant. He's a wonderful spirit, a combination of charm and shyness, Saturn in the first, and courage with sensitivity. A mother's biased view, huh? He's just moved to Virginia City, Nevada. If you have any time for insights to share, it would be great. Love your program and sending lots of appreciation your way. From Lori in Asheville.
Okay.
So, let's...
And when is it? That was October 22nd,
October
22,
1992. Mm-hmm. At 1:02, which is the birthday is 10/22, so he's got a 1:02 repeating. And it's in Asheville.
1:02 a.m.?
Hang on, I'm booting my thing here. 1:02 p.m. in Asheville, N.C., and his name is Sky. Okay. And he's now moved to Nevada. So the concern is about the nodes rolling over his stuff. And this is the first time he's had it, but he did have it when he was about 9 years old, too. So he's already had nodes over his stuff once before, Mom. So if he has it again, you know, it's kind of like a repeat energy.
Could you look back on what was going on with him at that point.
Right. Because that'll kind of give you half the story. When he was about... I don't know. I'll tell you how old he was. When he was a young sprite.
So he's a Libra, just barely, but he is a Libra with his moon in Virgo at Capricorn rising. And the moon in Virgo in the eighth trines his Capricorn rising. And he was because Mercury-Pluto conjunct in Scorpio. So the question was...
What's going to happen when the nodes hit his things? When the nodes hit his stuff. So he had this happen once before in October of 2000 when he was about 8. So that was the last time he had the nodes on his Mars and his Uranus Jupiter. So there was a story when he was in October of 2000 that's going to have another chapter unfold as the nodes come back over that place.
Mm-hmm.
So I always find the first time through is helpful. And then the next time has another story to it. So.
And he is such a, and he said he's recently gone off to college, is that it? Or
she said he's gone to Nevada. She didn't say college. She said he moved to Virginia City, Nevada.
Okay, that's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Gone to the Wild West. And he has natally Mars on the seventh house cusp. So he's
right.
Sort of needs this input from, you know, it's almost this image of the cowboy, where you've got Mars sitting on the descendant. Who do you need to deal with? The cowboys. The Mars in Cancer. And that he may just kind of need some strong Mars medicine from those mountains,
mm-hmm.
strong Mars medicine from that way of life.
Right.
And
Asheville's in the mountains in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he's got, with the Capricorn rising and the Cap planets in the first, those children like big rocks. And
yeah.
little rocks, too,
and,
but they like
yeah,
the rocks.
And
they
like the rocks, and they like the wildness.
Mm-hmm.
And with Neptune on his ascendant, he's very affected by his surroundings.
Yep.
And it looks like on the East Coast, he tends to feel that he was born... that he has to sort of not necessarily show how he feels different from his surroundings with Uranus in the 12th house, but doesn't necessarily show it, tends to try to blend in more and kind of runs under the radar with that Mercury-Pluto conjunct in Scorpio. And I think he'd rather not be under the radar so much. He'd like to be able to express himself a bit more.
Oh, a little bit more.
So we've got that, yeah.
Yeah. And when he moves to Nevada, he puts his moon line on the midheaven. So he's actually moving home when he moves to Nevada.
Right.
Gives him his 1 degree Sag rising. So he's on his Venus line and his moon line. I'm thinking he might have moved for love.
mm-hmm.
You know? Because he's moving to his Venus line for his ascendant and his moon line for his midheaven.
Yep.
Yeah.
And for love and for discovering who he is as male. With
yep.
that Mercury, with his Mars natally.
Yeah.
I do see that. It just seems he seems a lot more free, and it's more about his getting to know himself than it is about, you know, being overly aware of the complications of other people. And he's very reactive to people on the East Coast. He'll feel a little bit more room to move and to be himself out there.
Mm-hmm.
And... it looks like it's a more, you know, he'll have to be careful with his money when he first gets there, but he has a chance of making more money, I think.
Right.
There.
He's also having Mom Saturn on his Jupiter, and Jupiter is the ruler of his chart when he gets out to California or Nevada, when he goes west. Mm-hmm. So with that, he's starting a new 30-year cycle, and Jupiter for him says, live far from home, you know, find your fortune mm-hmm. far from home. And Saturn coming to that Jupiter starts a new 30-year cycle around him saying, okay, I have to go here and try this and see what it's like. He may not end up staying there. He may shift again when Saturn gets to 2 in August. But what this is part of is him really stretching his wings and giving himself permission to be, you know, the kind of, you know, he's trying to find his vision of who he is. So I think the nodes, whenever the nodes come to any planets, they're particularly important because they wake up the person's reason for being alive, and they also bring in very important connections that remind you of why you're here. So there's a lot of energy in his chart about really being ready to go forward in a new way. So I think it's pretty cool, actually.
And with his progressed moon 2 months ago went into Taurus.
Mm-hmm.
And that suggests to me that, you know, he's growing up pretty fast, that he's a lot more steady and making better decisions now than he was a few months ago. And is, you know, 5 months ago, it probably wouldn't have been a good idea for him to go entirely off on his own. But now it may be just the right thing,
mm-hmm.
that he can make some good decisions and learn and, you know, create more stability that way. It also, I see when the nodes hit a lineup of planets in a chart, I often see karmic boomerangs, you know, for better or worse, that there's just a playing out of karma, of meeting people that are part of your soul's path, of, you know, the good that you put out in the world tends to come back, so does unfinished business, so does, you know, problems that you set off last lifetime. So the events of this time may not make all that much sense in terms of this life, but may be bigger, more about the flow of his soul's karma over time. So the events that happen now will be important learning curves for him, one way or the other. And the people that he connects at this time will probably be important soul connections for him, either the people he's going to know a long time or people that he learns a lot from, you know, either because he learns to deal with a difficult person or because they actually teach him. It could be either way. But that those contacts that you make under the nodal axis playing off on important points in your chart are strong.
Mm-hmm. They really are.
Mark, do you have any comments about his chart?
The nodes are really going to highlight his opposition from Mars to Uranus, Neptune, and it'll create a lot of instability and like an urgency to take action, but the action is based on a lot of sensitivity that's hard to handle and hard to understand. And so it's a little bit like being out to sea and feeling I need to have a direction and I need to paddle hard, but mm-hmm. not really knowing that direction and being in danger of, you know, flipping over the kayak just because you're paddling too hard. But he'll feel like he really has to dig the paddle in. And one of the things that will help him a lot is in Scorpio, he has a Mercury-Pluto conjunction. And so if he can take whatever that experience brings to him, and it'll come in meeting and dealing with new people because of the nodes, whatever that's bringing to him, and, you know, with all that feeling of having to take action, if he can try to use it to examine deeply how he's thinking about it and maybe even express it in writing. I don't know if he has any interest in writing or any other form of communicating, songwriting, blogging, you know, something, but some way to communicate what he's feeling, especially what he's feeling, and how he's trying to put his feelings into action. It'll help with that. It'll give it an outlet. And it'll bring him into some kind of a deeper awareness that helps him to change. He'll change on a deeper level. So it's an opportunity. You know, he'll feel this urgency, and he may feel ineffective within it. But if he uses it for his self-examination and communicates that, it'll bring a lot of growth. So I would encourage him to find some way to communicate. Now, he might not mm-hmm. he might not have Mom on the top of his list to communicate with. So, you know, encourage him to communicate.
Especially not with all the planets in Aries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, don't feel that he's going to communicate to you, but give him the encouragement to do that. And, you know, he may find it more meaningful at this point to communicate with people his age. And mm-hmm. that may well be more meaningful, too. So you may have to step back and just realize, well, if I can at least give him the direction of communicating. I don't mean direction as in order, I mean direction as in where to go. That may be all you can do to help. But it could be a lot.
Mm. Yeah, I think when we look at a chart, especially when he's having as much activity, you know, with that he's having with Pluto in the ascendant as well, which we didn't even bring up. We just kind of said, oh, yeah, that's a major transformational energy for him. And Pluto natally is in his 11th house, 10th house of groups and career. And he has a strong Mercury-Pluto aspect, meaning the ruler of the moon goes to the Mercury-Pluto. So there's a really strong energy in his chart that of needing to go find his community, find his tribe, which is what kind of Heather was talking about too, that this is like a bigger cycle for him. This is him coming into his own. And really 3 years ago on some level he became, you know, mature on a different level. And now he's ready to kind of stretch that. And I think that's the hard part. You know, as a parent, you're always looking and going, oh, don't go so far. but he's really ready. You know, he's a cardinal sign rising, and even though the decisions with Uranus, Neptune, and the first may not look well thought out, in the sense of, you know, he can't necessarily verbalize why he's doing it, especially with Pisces ruling the third house. There's a part of him that's like a salmon swimming upstream that knows, you know, Mom, I got to swim upstream. I got to go. And that, you have to trust that process, because he has very good intuition, even if he can't talk so good, about why. You know, there's something calling him. So trusting that he's getting called to his life, even though it's hard to say goodbye.
So are there any more questions that you can think of on that?
Well, those were her questions.
I think we answered hers.
Yeah, we think we covered them. And
anybody
if you still
else
have any
on
others,
line?
Mom, let us know. Huh?
Okay. Are there anybody else on the line?
Oh, yeah, we got callers. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And again, our number is 347-215-8881, 347-215-8881. And the person who's calling on Skype, you don't have your hand raised, so I'm not supposed to call on you if you don't have your hand raised. All right, and we'll
try to do that by pressing one, right?
Yeah, pressing one or two.
Okay, let's keep these short and to the point so we can get as many in as we can.
Well, we only have
and
two callers, so. Yeah.
Okay.
The next one is,
second one.
But we actually only have 13 minutes left, huh? Wow, it went fast.
Okay.
Hi, 212, you there?
I'm here.
You're there, cool. What's your question?
I was interested in the full moon and what that might mean to me, this particular full moon.
Okay, and what's your birthday?
9/25/57.
Time?
6:37 in the evening.
Where?
Miami, Florida.
Okay. So September 25th, 1957, 6:37 in p.m.
Mm-hmm.
In Miami, and now are you living in New York because of the 2
Yes, in New York.
Okay. It doesn't change a whole lot, but whenever I see that 2 and 2, I'm always like, yeah, she's in New York. All right. Okay.
And that was September 25th, correct?
Right. And Heather, actually, it's Michelle. I had a reading with you a little while ago.
I thought it might have been you.
Yeah,
yes.
And I was
there.
Just listening to you.
Yes.
Hi.
That's
and
moon.
Anna, actually, I had a reading with
Friday.
You last summer as well. So I just wanted to say that up front. So
you,
I don't.
You know us.
Like, yeah, I know you guys. I love you guys. And I just was wondering, like, this full moon, I'm Libra. I'm going through so many changes, and I just...
It's not only that, it's right on your Jupiter.
Yeah, it's a big one. 6,000 health,
but,
work.
So what are you thinking?
Health, work, pets. What's going on with pets, health, work? Got a lot of changes there. Mom's mind, dad's legal matters. Kids' money. Employees, if you have people working for you.
So mundane, Anne. Is there something like a little more... My God,
Monday.
I wasn't as domestic as I feel right now. I was like moon romance, full moon
romance.
Oh,
you want the romance report?
Back,
oh, okay,
back,
you're looking for
a roll,
you
know.
Well, I think that there is, the moon will be on your Jupiter and in your house of health, small animals, service, all the things that Anne was mentioning. But your Jupiter is within 1 degree of your seventh house cusp. So it will be affecting both your sixth and your seventh house cusp.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to feel it even more the day after or the hour after the full moon.
So what does that really mean, though, after the sixth
and your
seventh?
Moon? And the sixth house, in other words, the energy right now is on this deep inner healing as the sun goes through your 12th. And the moon is in your sixth house of... health service, where you're going to be feeling whenever we feel the full moon, where the sun is talks about where we are activated, and the moon talks about our inner world, and we see the tension between them because they're in opposition.
Mm-hmm.
So right now the sun in the 12th house is lighting up your inner life, but it's also saying, you count, you matter, what about you? What about what your needs? What about what, your health? The moon in the seventh house is about service. So you're seeing the fight that may go on in your life between your needs and the needs of others, your health and the health of others.
Well, it's kind of weird because
I
did. I did just plan a 2-week vacation in April, which I usually never do for myself. One, a yoga retreat, and then one, you know, to like a Caribbean island to recuperate from a yoga retreat. But, you know,
so
I just, and it's exactly that because I, you know, how I take care of people all the time for my career. And
right.
I just thought I have to take care of me and I'm going to do it. And
mm-hmm.
so I feel like, I don't know, it's a little bit before the moon because I'm going for the month of April, but.
Right.
You know,
so
I'm, you know.
You're making the decision now.
Mm-hmm. But
you're
the month,
the decision
yeah. The,
now.
Right.
And what you know, for you, one of the big problems it looks like in relationships, you said, oh, what about relationships? Because this
yeah.
hits right on the cusp, is until you trust yourself to take care of yourself,
mm-hmm.
you tend to overtake care of others, not only for your living, but in relationship, and that doesn't create a healthy balance in your life. So if you can, you know, start a new chapter in your emotional life by first taking care of yourself and continuing to take care of yourself as you enter into a new relationship, you know, that can break old habits and be, this full moon can free you, Jupiter, free you of the old habits of being too much of service to create a stable relationship, which would be really cool.
Yeah, see, I'm looking at that Venus, you know, Pluto's transiting Pluto's on her solar arc Venus, and it 5, top of the chart. And you've also got a bunch of stuff going on. You know, Mars is about to go into the 5th house. So you've also been having a little romp and chase with the relationship arena. And progressing.
To say the least. To
yeah.
The least.
So it's, you know, there's a whole triangle story going on there that you still have to resolve. And partners, if there is a partner's depression is going to be foremost April, May, June.
No more partner. No more of that partner. Only on to new territory.
Okay, but he's, but partners, April, May, June, your progressed moon right now is 28 Virgo. So till that gets into Libra, you know, Saturn is going to go dancing over
when,
it. And
when will that be happening?
That happens...
June-ish?
Yeah, that happens in May.
June-ish.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So while
end
it's
of May.
In, yeah, the end of May. While it's in the
but this again, how that goes will matter on the
on what I'm doing now.
Right.
Well, so far, 2 weeks vacation is a good sign of taking care of myself, right?
Right. Actually, April 24th is when your progressed moon goes into.
That's right. When I'm going to St. Bart's.
Good, good. And then you've got it squaring your Pluto, and Saturn's on it. So watch
mm-hmm.
for. A repeat of partner to show back up when you're on, because you've got Mars in the 5th on your Uranus, so you're like charts ready for like a little love affair. But if you haven't done the psychological work on the partner you banished,
mm-hmm.
you know you're gonna repeat it a little bit, you know, on the vacation through June, and then you're good to go.
And I'm clear.
Then you're
well,
clear.
This is good. Then I really have to use this moon as a way to liberate
yes.
myself
yes.
and all that self love and self compassion.
Yes.
And if
right?
you go back, yeah, if you go back to fall of 2008. The story that started then is culminating
please,
now.
Please, please, though I can't go back to anything in the fall of 2008 or 2009.
Yes,
I'm only working on 2010 and the fall that's going to happen now.
I know you're an Aries rising, honey, but if we don't review the past, we're doomed to repeat it.
Well, listen, thank you both so much. I don't want to take up all the time that's left, but I really appreciate
yes,
it.
The next one, and good luck and have a great
have
time.
A great trip.
I will. I'm going to call you both soon. Thank
and
you so
sure
much.
And make sure to stand on your head,
right.
you know.
I did that in spring last Saturday for the first time, my headstand.
Wow, congratulations.
That was great. Yeah, I can only do it every spring, though, I think.
All right. As the life transitions. The life
thank
transitions.
You so much. Bye,
you're
Heather.
Welcome. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right.
And the next one?
She doesn't have her hand raised, but we'll try it. Hello? Are
hello?
You there? Hello? Hello? Hello, hello?
It's not coming through.
No, don't hear you. I hope you're hearing us.
Bad connection.
Oh, you there? Bad connection? Nope. All right, well, we got 6 minutes left. And any more callers? 347-215-8881. You got the opportunity to be our last caller.
Okay. And that full moon was an interesting question to talk about, you know,
how that moon's going to manifest.
It
right?
is.
Mm-hmm.
How that's going to manifest in ourselves, how that anywhere where we have feel pulled between another person's needs and our own, we have to find a way where we, we deal with both, mm-hmm. because the Sun and Aries won't let us put them first, and the Moon in Libra reminds us, but we really do want to connect, and we really are willing to make some compromise as long as it's not over the issues that are key to us.
Right.
So, you know, as we go back and forth and really watch out, I have to just keep laughing at the giant, you know, push my button on that's what we're all wearing right now. I think that was very funny, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still chuckling about that one. And how intense that is. One of the things that we see also with this lineup in Aries, you were talking about the volcano, how, you know, erupting it is, that this Aries energy has a parallel. We see, it's partly how we see the news, but also astrology is so well laid out in the news for us. Mercury opposed Saturn this week, and we see, you know, some of it is communication difficulties, or really, the last minute feeling and dealing and trying to hammer out details that we saw in the Senate work around the health care bill. But I'm also watching several people trying to really wrestle their finances in shape, or wrestle some legal documents that working on, or wrestle and nail down their plans for the next phase of their life as they deal with this Mercury Saturn. It's not an easy communication piece, but it often does create flow. Around here, it creates work. Around here, the transportation is interrupted again because of the floods, and then nowhere near as bad as they were last
year. Oh, right,
I saw
that with the North Dakota, your river.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was dry. And it's not just the river, it's the fields. It's the fact the fields have no place to drain. So when I was driving near the Red River, the river was very full. But one side of the highway was down to one lane because the rest of it was underwater. And even that one lane, people were driving for several miles through 6 inches of water.
Wow.
Because the highway, the main highway, was flooded. The train tracks are flooded, so the train's not running right. But it responds very quickly. I notice that when all the planets are in Aries, people's allergies tend to bother them quickly because histamine response, a sort of allergic inflammation, is a very Aries response. It's kind of hot to the point, very quick, and sometimes overacts. So when the planets get out of Aries and into Taurus, which won't be for several weeks, and the allergies tend to kind of slow down and maybe entrench a little bit, but they get a little less quick and inflamed, this issue of inflammation. But this week, when people react, whether it's their health or their love or their anger or their frustration, it'll react in these short, fast bursts. Little volcanoes
all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Erupt, erupt, erupt. Enjoy the volcanoes. They're there for your enjoyment pleasure. The thing, remember, they can be tourist volcanoes or they can be really good ones. I thought it was interesting. Never knew there was such a thing as a tourist volcano. You learn something new every day. So I think it's fascinating as we move towards the thing, too, because the other part of it is I've been watching with as things go into the Aries point, they're setting off the T-square. So they're also giving us a precursor of what we're going to be working with this summer when the T-square is filled with Jupiter and Uranus at the same time. So they definitely seem to have a financial component, and they also seem to have an earthquake component. And they also seem to have an awakening. They really are, you know, people are really waking up and going, you know, I never saw that before, and now that I've seen it, I don't really know that I want to be here anymore. And so there's a very much a sense of things moving and shifting into new directions. So the British lady's yelling at us again.
So, Mark, is there any last thing that you have to add?
No, I think we should sign off for this week.
Okay. This is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from the wilds of northern North Dakota. You can reach us during the week at astronyc.com. You can find the links to all of our email addresses. and call us or email us about a question that you would like us to answer on this, and you can catch our podcast anytime during the week. And we have, from New York, we have...
Mark Wolf.
Thanks, bye. Mm-hmm. And...
Me, Ann Ortley, on the upper... Ann Ortley on the Upper East Side of my bright red desk, having the wind blow in the window right now. It's beautiful out.
Have a wonderful week and watch that, you know, push my button.
Yes, no pushing buttons unless you really want to get them aroused and excited, you know, and it will work really well if you want to really irritate them. So it's a great week for irritating people. Only if you want to, though. Conscious irritation.
Goodbye, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, we'll talk to you next week. Take care and have a great week. Bye.